We started this month before the hurricane with A Better Place, and that was the title of this. And I planned to preach this, and I didn't quite get even into my outline. So, and then I got caught up into some other stuff, like When a Nation Forgets, and then I preached on King of Kings, and then we had a speaker in between. So it's been a month, and then we're just now getting back to this message. But I changed the title of it from A Better Place to The Ultimate Place. Do you see what I'm talking about? Because I've had the privilege. I think about being raised a little farm boy and plowed a mule till I was 15 years of age, and Daddy never did have a tractor. He thought corn was cheaper than gasoline. And then God opened doors, and I got to go to the bush countries of Africa, and I got to preach before 25, 30,000 in India, and even got to go to Europe and visit some places, and even to Venice, the city built in the Mediterranean Sea, and the Vatican, and all of these places. And every time I come back, I would always tell people, boy, when I go on these trips, it just reminds me that God has really made some beautiful places, like that field in front of my house. I can't wait to get back to it every time I go away from here. And if I'm just doing A Better Place, there's probably some of you have moved from one place to another, and you probably could name what you would consider your better place. But in all of the better places, there's one ultimate place, and that's the place that we all want to get to. Back when I was growing up and a little boy, they used to preach on this about every 5 or 6 Sundays. They would preach on heaven. But I thought, you know, we lived in those houses without any insulation and no heat and air, and you know, you could actually see the ground underneath some of them, and you know, we got water out of an old hand pump. And you know, I guess to them, you know, when we talked about streets of gold and gates of pearl and all of this, it sounded awesome. And you know, they were always, but I think maybe we've been advanced and we've kind of got, you know, some cushiony living. You know, and it's maybe we don't think about heaven quite as much. Maybe we don't talk about it as much. Now, I said they would preach on every 5 or 6 weeks or so, but the other 5 or 6 times they would preach on hell. So, you know, but we don't talk about either one a whole lot. But I don't know, it's just kind of been on my mind lately. It's just, you know, and it's kind of a shame that the only time we bring out Revelations in chapter 21 is usually when we're at a funeral service and we want to comfort the family. But I believe that this chapter, this part of Revelations, with this revelation that John had, I don't believe it was just for a, you know, just a funeral service or when people are passing away. I believe it's something that we need to look forward to. And so in Revelations 21, 1 through 8, we're going to just read, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Could you imagine that, just being on an island and just by yourself? And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we see that there is a new creation. You know, when we talk about heaven, whenever I look at this earth, when I see the creation, nothing tells me that there is a God more than when I see his creation. Because I don't ever, if you ever see anything that just collides and blows up, you don't get something beautiful like we are experiencing in these days when we awake in the morning time. You know, we may have the hurricanes and we may have the difficulties, all of these things was introduced because of Adam's fall. But because of God's creation, when we see the blue sky and all of the colors of the leaves and the time of the year, and we see the beauty of everything that God has created, when I see this, a sunset or a sunrise, there is nothing that tells me there is a creator. Went like looking at the creation. I know what it took to put this building here. And, you know, this is a pretty nice little building for a place called Frog Holler. And it took a lot of effort. We couldn't come out here and just blow up a few stumps and this building showed up. It just doesn't work that way. When there is something beautiful that has been created, there's only one way that it come into existence. And that is because there was a creator. And there's nothing tells me that there is a creator like the creation. And so when I look around me, when we read about this place, we read about the gold, and we see, read about the diamonds, and we read about the precious jewels that make up this splendorous place. And whenever we think of these things, it causes me to realize that's why it's so precious when we get gold or silver or diamonds or rubies or sapphires, these jewels down here, because there's not that many of them here. He used them to make up this place that He is preparing for us. And the things that we would think would be so valuable down here will be what we'll just walk upon and stand upon, because what we call valuable and what we call is something that we would, that is rare and something to be cherished. God takes us, His greatest creation, and He puts that up under our feet, and He makes the walls out of it, and He shelters us and protects us with what we think is beautiful, and we love to have and love to purchase, and that is special. And God said, I've taken what you call special, and I've used it for you to walk upon it, because there is nothing I have ever created more special to me than we, the people that God Almighty made in His image and in His likeness. Give Him praise if you believe it. Amen. Woo! People ask me, how am I doing? I say, I'm awesome. God's awesome, and He made me in His image and in His likeness. Some of y'all thinking, oh no, that ain't what God looks like, is it? I'll help you, He's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, heaven is a real place. According to the Bible, we believe that it's probably set in the north somewhere. You know, somebody, when I said this, somebody challenged me once before and said, no, it's like He's going to split the eastern sky. So He's going to be, now that's just the analogy of how He's going to show up, like the lightning appeared from the east to the west. He's going to come. But according to scriptures in Psalms 48:2, let's just take a look at this new creation. Beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north in the city of the great King. In Psalm 75:6, let's just get this picture. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor from the south. Isaiah 14:13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You see, distance from the east is to the west. It's really hard to even know, but you can, they're navigators, and people travel by looking at the north star. That's the only fixture. That's the only place. John said that I saw a brand new creation. I saw something coming down in verses 1 and 5, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You know what? When we get to heaven, whenever this is over, my Bible tells me that He's going to make everything brand new. new. It's going to be a new creation, but it's going to be a new city. There's going to be some things in there that's going to just stand out before us, and we're going to see. There's going to be no more sorrow. It says that God is going to wipe every tear from our eyes. You know, I thought about this just a while back, and I'm thinking, you know, it sounds beautiful at a funeral to tell them, oh, when they get there, there'll be no more tears. God is going to. Did you know that God is the same there as he is here? He's the same here as he is there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that if you would just have faith and confidence in your Creator, that you would realize that he wants to wipe tears away from your eyes. There's been folks in here crying this morning, and you've come in here with a heavy spirit and a broken soul and a distraught emotion, but God is wanting to share this with you this morning, that he wants to wipe your tears away, and he's going to do it. He has a formula. He has an answer. Oh, he's going to do it. There's going to be a new city. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more shadows, because Jesus Christ is the light of that city. There'll be no more sin. It's going to be a place that has never been corrupt by the wickedness and the idolatries of man, but it is going to be a place that we can embrace, a place that is of splendor. You say, Brother David, I don't know if I can hang with all of that. You don't have to hang with it. There's a place you can go if you don't like it, amen. But God has prepared for those who believe him. He has prepared a place for those who believe in who he is, my God. And I just stopped by here to tell you that it's not made with hand, but it is made by the power of a living God. Hallelujah. It's going to be a new city. Look at verses 2, 10, 16, 21 through 23. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written their own, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the apostles. And he talked with me and had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed. Can you imagine John seeing this? It's awesome just to read it off the wall. And it was 12,000 furlongs, or 1,500 miles. And the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. It's 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high. It's like walking a spiral stairway. And you can just travel from place to place. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it. And the city had no need for the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light of that city. Oh, we'll need no light in that city that John saw coming down, for Jesus is the light. His glory shall appear. We shall see him in all of his glory. And oh, the Bible says that the gates are going to be a solid pearl. The pearl is the only gem that is created because of a wound inside of an oyster. Now, I don't know what size oyster produced this, the pearl, but this pearl is going to be there. Jesus said, I am the door. He's the way in. He's the way that you move into this place. And God chose a jewel that was brought about by a wound in order to create the doors to this city. Oh, God doesn't leave out anything because he knows that at the gate of this city, there is the Savior with all of his wounds. And the only man-made thing in this city will be the wounds in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Give him praise if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, we don't talk about it much, y'all. We just kind of lose sight of it. It sounds like something that the old people used to look forward to. They used to sing songs about it. So many songs were written about this place. I remember them singing, "Oh, I want to see him." And you could almost picture them when they would tear loose singing. They didn't have all the equipment and stuff like we got. But boy, they would sing it. And it was almost like they had their elbows on heaven's windowsills. And they were just looking across that celestial place. And they were just waiting to see the one walk by with the thorn prints in his head, the nail prints in his hands and in his feet, and the wound in his side. And he has on him a vesture dipped in blood. I talked to you about that last week. Oh, my God. And they would just sing, "Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face." Amen. There to sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Tears are past. Home at last, ever to rejoice. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we're going to have a new communion in verse 3. Look at it. I'm going to go through this really quickly. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." In other words, we're going to be his son. We're going to be with him continually. You see, Adam and Eve, they had cool time. God came down and walked with them in the cool of the day. But we're going to have continual time, for we shall forever be with the Lord. Amen. But we're also going to have a new comfort in the verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Does that sound good? Oh, my Lord, that's not just for people when they pass away, for the former things are passed away. Do you see what I'm saying? We talk about this is the way it is when we pass away, but that's the way it's going to be when the former things pass away. Amen. But we're going to also have a brand new comprehension in verses 5 and 6. I'm going to get through this because I want to get to a special point that the Spirit of the Lord showed me this morning. "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." We're going to know as we are known. Paul said we're going to be known as we are known. We're going to know all things. There's nothing going to be hidden from us. We're going to have the fountain of the water of life that we can drink from it continually. But not only a new comprehension, but a new compensation. Let's look in verse 7 real quick, like, and we're going to get through. "And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." I want to just submit this to you. You don't become a son because of a law. We are his son by the blood. Do you understand me? Oh, bless his holy name. You know, it is amazing to me. You know, used to back when we were growing up, you know, about the only thing you go to hell for was drinking and smoking. But you know what? You know what the very first reference is? The very first thing that sin ever produced. But the fearful. Remember, Adam said, "We heard your voice walking in the midst of the garden, and we were afraid because we were naked." You know, the first thing that sin ever gave to man was fear. And what he's saying, what the believer has to have is to not have fear. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, you're going to have a different company up there. We're not supposed to be afraid. Wonder what fear comes from. I believe so much of our fears come from the law. And the Spirit was showing me something that was very interesting this morning. In Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but yet will I not forget thee. Oh, this is our God. This is what I want you to see. And he said, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Did you know that God has graven you? He actually carved us in his hand. And he looks at us. Wow. Can you imagine God loving you that much? That's why you don't have to be afraid when you realize how much God loves you. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 11, I never noticed this, verses 13 and then 18 through 21. Watch this. And it came to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments. You know, we do a lot of preaching on commandments, but you know what I found with the law? The law makes you afraid. The law controls you with fear. And that's how the churches have been deceived. Because instead of bringing out the greatness of God's love. See, you don't want to break the law if you really love somebody that much. Amen. Love covers a multitude of faults. But when you realize that you're loved and you've got a connection, and it shall come to pass if you hearken diligently unto my commandments. That's what I wanted you to know. When people read this, and I didn't realize that. I thought that in Deuteronomy after Exodus, if he was talking about commandments, that he would be talking about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. But, you know, the rich young rulers asked Jesus, said, what must I do to be saved? What have I got to do for me to save myself? Jesus said, you know the law. I kept all of these my whole life. Do you understand that? See, the problem with the church is trying to teach you what you got to do to save yourself. The Ten Commandments was given because they stood at the foot of Sinai and sent Moses up there and told him, you tell God whatever he tells us to do, we can do it. He doesn't have to help us. We can do it. And the law just brought us to the realization that we couldn't save ourselves. You see, this commandment I've commanded you this day, not to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, no, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Jesus said, upon this commandment stands all commandment. You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. And the second is like unto the first. Just love your neighbor as yourself. This is the original commandments of God. John reinforces it in his epistles that we love him. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. Why didn't he name the 10 laws? This is what God wants. This is the only command that God has given, because you cannot break the 10 if you do the 2. Shall I lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Do you see this? I've just read to you that God has graven your picture in his hand and he keeps it before him. That's how much he loves you. And he says, this is going to be your answer if you love me enough to put me in the palm of your hand, for write me upon your doorpost.
for you all the time and my constant love for you in front of you. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou risest up by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon the gate, and your days will be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them. Oh, this is it. The ultimate place. As the days of heaven upon the earth. I saw this and I thought, wow, y'all. If we can remember that God has a picture of us graven in his hand, and then we can get a picture of God constantly before us. The God that can't stop loving us. A mama could stop loving their child, their baby, at her breast quicker than God could stop loving you. Lord, think about it. Can you imagine the Creator? And you look at everything he created, but he's got a picture of you in the palm of his hand. And he said, if you'll get a picture of me in the palm of your hand, this is what he showed me just this morning. He said, every time you look at me in front of your eyes, right before your eyes, it'll always remind you how much I love you. Wow. Wow. You know what happens when we start doubting how much God loves us and how much he cares and how we're the apple of his eye? You see, for God so loved the world, he didn't make a law, but he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The closest we'll ever have the ultimate place on earth is when we have a love connection and we see the God and we realize that as we focus upon his goodness, he is focusing upon us. And we are. David said it like this: what is man that thou art ever mindful of him? The ultimate place is with us. Would you stand with me? The writer in Deuteronomy said, it'll be like days upon heaven, upon the earth, to sing like no one's listening, dance like no one's looking, love like you've never been hurt, and live like your days are heaven upon the earth. I thought, man, that's pretty. That's pretty. If I were to ask you how many people have a problem in here, I'd probably get a lot of hands raised. But I'm telling you, your answer is to look in the palm of your hand and imagine God at your fingertips and realize he's got you at his fingertips. You can almost give yourself a big old hug and tell your problems take a hike. I've found my answer. Glory to God. Give him praise in this house. Amen. Amen. I love you this morning. God loves you. Fellowship before you leave. You are dismissed, and God is so good.